Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you learning ways to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. I think about over the years how I never, for a long, long time, ever took any kind of question about investing. We're not an investing show. But over the years, gradually, there's been more and more people asking me things about Roth IRAs, 401ks, that sort of thing, as people who were never focused on the stock market or investing have been forced to, as employer pensions have generally vanished. And so people who are not interested in it, particularly studied for it, are left having to understand enough to protect themselves building towards a financial future. And so a time like right now can get extremely confusing. So we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in a recession. We've been through a time period over the last 5 months where 50 million of our fellow Americans have faced at least some time in unemployment. We continue today with tens of millions still in unemployment, people whose job situation has been unstable, where they are employed, unemployed, employed again, maybe facing another wave of unemployment. How in the world, in the midst of this, could the stock market have cratered when the pandemic started and now is at all-time record highs? In addition, Apple became the first company, I guess ever in history anywhere on earth, to hit a value of $2 trillion. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's $2,000 billion in value for one company. Well, I want you to drill down on this and understand how it affects you and your wallet. You know, a lot of people are nervous who have seen their accounts recover, but still nervous, like, is another shoe going to drop? So it is normal with investing that markets go up and down routinely over time. The recovery in the midst of a recession is by itself not unusual. Many times the stock market is a leading indicator of where we're headed. And remember, the coronavirus recession was not a recession because of underlying problems with the general economy. It was because of a health-related problem that caused the unemployment and the recession that we're in. So the underlying fundamentals are sound. As for the values being assigned to stocks right now, they are abnormally high. So I would not say that this is a bubble, but I would say that stocks are overvalued. Let's say I'm right. What difference does that make to you if you're putting money in a 401k or a Roth IRA or something like that? If you're well diversified and the fund choices in there, you're in the target retirement fund choices, you're in various index choices, and you're building money every pay period or every month, and you're building towards a future down the road, then whether the market is overvalued today, even if some stocks like Tesla are in a bubble, it is insignificant and unimportant for the glide path you're on. So don't let the noise of a market being good or bad change your path if you are well diversified. And by being well diversified, being in a target retirement fund by itself is an example of you being well diversified with your money spread out across the economy, various sectors, typically thousands of stocks and other alternative types of things to stocks. The simplest and the least thing that would be alternative bonds many times are in target retirement funds. If you're in index funds, you own typically 500 to 3,000 stocks, and so your money is spread out. I will tell you, though, right now, if you are an individual investor buying individual stocks, including all the newbies on Robinhood, know that your buying and selling of individual stocks is a riskier endeavor. And a lot of people doing Robinhood, as I've been reading, are even doing things like options trading. This is very, very risky to you. And it is not the basis of where your financial life should be built. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you, it's more risky. So know also there's a big concentration in the run-up in stocks in a tiny number of high-tech stocks plus Tesla. And so it means that these stocks are priced for perfection plus. So do I think there could be a correction coming? Of course, there's always a correction in the stock market. Do I think there could be a bear market in our future? Yes. But there's nothing imminent that says something like that is going to happen. It happens typically when we least expect it. So steady as you go with clear goals in mind is key to your financial future and security. It's time for your questions you posted for me at clark.com/ask. Producers Kim and Joel alternate asking your questions. And Kim, who do you have a question from?
This is from Sally. Sally's in Georgia, and Sally says, I want to start traveling, and I'm wondering what questions I should be asking hotels or rental homes regarding COVID safety. Think mask policies and cleaning and stuff like that.
This is a wonderful question as you hit the road. So hotel chains, I got to just level with you here. The big chains have established procedures for their properties. But what I'm hearing from people who've been traveling is it's hit or miss whether or not individual properties in a chain are following those procedures. What I recommend is that you look at reviews on TripAdvisor of people who've traveled recently. There are people posting what they've found in terms of the sanitary standards being used at a property. And you can go another step. You can call a individual hotel location or email the general manager and ask him or her, what are you doing for safety and sanitation for visitors right now during coronavirus? If you get no response, that tells you everything you need to know. If you get something that seems really half-hearted, that tells you something else as well. But I think you'll find out the most from fellow travelers who've stayed at individual locations during coronavirus. With Airbnb properties, renting an Airbnb, it's all over the place in what owners are doing or not doing to provide a very sanitary environment. In that case, it's really easy to communicate directly with a property owner and find out what exactly they're doing. You'll be able to tell if they're just talking or they're taking it seriously. Joel?
Clark, Steve in Texas says, I heard you mention I-bonds the other day. From looking at the website, I get the impression that if you cash them in early, before 30 years, that you may not get what you paid for them plus interest. I saw that there was a place to look up the value of them. Is it possible to lose principal on purchasing I-bonds?
No. And the whole idea of I-bonds is the value is secure, particularly once you pass 5 years. Under 5 years, after 1 year, but less than five, you can forfeit a period of interest. But the value of the bond is secure. The idea of owning an I-bond, though, as I may or may not have adequately explained when I talked about them recently, is own them with the intention like you would own a five-year CD, with the goal being to own it a minimum of 5 years. And depending on what happens with interest rates in the economy and inflation in the United States, you make a decision 5 years in 2025 if you want to continue to own I-bonds or not. Kim?
Vicky in New York says, my daughter is recently engaged and starting to plan her wedding. Do you have any tips or suggestions to protect herself financially as she deals with vendors and venues? She's considering a date next year, but is uncertain due to the high number of weddings that have been rescheduled and further uncertainty concerning the pandemic.
This is a question that I've been asked a lot on the show and off the show as well. I've had a number of friends who have kids that are engaged asking me this same question. And what I've advised is not to do the normal thing in a cycle of getting married and book various vendors where you're going to face time periods where you would lose money, you lose deposits and the rest. So what I've encouraged people to do is to wait very late in wedding planning, which is against the natural instinct of most every bride-to-be there is. But wait till you commit to various vendors like photographer and things like that. People wonder and worry, I'm not going to be able to find someone and all that. You'll find somebody who can do that very close to your date. As far as facilities, you want to book a facility, whether it's a hotel ballroom or an event space or whatever, that you negotiate the right to a refund up to a period of time close to the date of the event. Completely abnormal for wedding planning. But again, if you have trouble finding a facility that you like that will agree to that, then you cannot book until the public health picture is more clear later into the future. I'm taking all the romance out of planning a wedding, aren't I? Joel?
Clark, Mike in Georgia says, I'm a public school teacher. My question is whether or not I can take a tax deduction on the cost of internet and the computer that I'm required to use in my personal residence when we're remote learning due to COVID. We're not allowed back in the building and required to work from home via the internet and using our personal computers in many cases. It may sound petty as millions are out of work, but at my age, every penny counts.
So this is one, unless Congress passes in the next coronavirus relief package some kind of protection for teachers and potentially other workers who at the choice of their employers are not allowed to come into the office and, or in your case, a school, and are required to work at home using your own facilities, your own internet connection, your own computer and all that. Unless they pass something for people that are regular employees, W-2 employees, it is not something that normally will be deductible, and that's why it requires an act of the Congress. Danielle is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Danielle. How are you today?
I am great, Clark. How are you?
Good, good. So you have a child who normally would be in public school, but you've made a one-year decision for private school?
That is correct. So just this year, and we have a question about paying for his tuition.
I'm ready.
Okay, so the tuition for the private school runs about $13,000. And he has a 529 account that has roughly $70,000, and we have close to $92,000 in our just regular savings account.
All right, let me stop and you right there. You are okay. A fantastic saver.
Thank you. It's my husband.
That's really great. So yeah. The private school tuition at $13,000 is very good, too, because the average private school tuition in the country is a little more than double that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It doesn't seem great to you paying it, does it?
No, it seems a lot to us, so I'm glad it's not the average, for sure.
So you've got the 69 and the 529. You said you had, if I caught what you said right, 92,000 in savings.
Correct.
And you now can use 10 grand in a year to pay for private school prior to college.
Correct.
So is that the thing you're trying to figure out, the dilemma, where should you pay this money from?
It is, absolutely.
I would, if it were me, I would take the 13,000 out of the 92,000 you've saved. Instead of, I mean, you still have to take three out of there since 10 is the maximum you can pull out of a 529 for school prior to college. But I would let the 69 continue to grow. Remember, it's growing tax-free. Your child is what grade again?
Eighth grade.
So we got 5 years, really, till college money is going to be used at this. Mm-hmm. And so it would make sense to use the money in your savings that's earning like nothing, point nothing right now.
Right. That's close.
And you'll still have a tremendous amount of money saved. And let that college money continue to grow, accumulating tax-free. See, that's what's so amazing about 529 money, is it's not growing tax-deferred. It's growing tax-free. So you let it grow tax-free, you spend it tax-free, and having that money continue to work for you is great. I mean, if you told me you had no savings and all that, and it was really important for this year for your child to go to private school this 1 year, I'd say, okay, yeah, take the money, 10K of it from the 529, but not in your case.
Okay.
And what do you think? You think a year from now you're going to say, well, we meant for it to only be 1 year.
Well, I'm hoping it'll just be 1 year, but if that's not the case, I'll give you a call back and we'll talk about it then too.
Sounds perfect. Have a great day. Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you have. Our websites, clark.com and clarkdeals.com. So roughly 1 in 3 Americans rent. And there is a massive change in how the rental market is working around the United States. And I need to make sure that you know how this is playing out. So in many communities around the United States, landlords, large and small, had any length lease as long as it was 12 months. The 12-month lease was very much the standard practice. There are apartment complexes that are owned by big financial groups that in recent years went to travel industry kind of demand pricing with leases that could stretch like an accordion or shrink based on what might be better for you or might the landlord might feel like might make them more money. But historically, there was no flexibility. Well, a survey by the National Apartment Association found that now 2/3 of landlords in the country are offering various term leases shorter than that traditional 1 year. And if you go back to last year, according to an article in USA Today, only 7% of landlords offered any flexibility of any kind really on leases. Now 2/3. So there are multiple factors going on with this. One, the college student market, with colleges not knowing day by day whether college is going to be in person or not. My daughter, who's a college student in the Los Angeles metro area, was presented with a lease that her landlord had come up with for college students that in the lease, you had to sign that one for a pretty normal term, but in the lease, there was a buyout provision that you could use if school closed and went online only. And it was a flat rate to get you out of your lease. So you got the student market as part of it. But then, because of what's going on in the job market, with people being very worried about what their job picture is going to be, being stuck in a long-term lease is not good for you and not good for the landlord if you lose your job. The landlord might go after you with a dispossessory and eviction, which just follows you around on your rental and credit history like a plague. And landlords don't want to have to go through that process. Tenants don't want that either. So you have great flexibility now with landlords, even many offering something that historically they would never consider, and that's month-to-month leases. The risk to you as a tenant of a month-to-month is that the landlord, with a notice at any point, can start pushing your rent up. The advantage to you of a tenant is obvious. If your life situation or circumstances change, you, with the proper notice that month-to-month would require, can pick up and move. You may find a landlord that offers a 3-month lease, 6-month lease, 5-month lease, whatever lease. So know now, remember, 2 in 3, according to the industry survey, are offering you flexibility as a tenant, potential tenant, and you want to use that if your life faces some instability because of coronavirus. Because that 1-year lease can be quite a handcuff in your life if your situation right now with employment is not as stable as normal. It's time for your questions you posted for me at clark.com/ask. Do I remember, Kim, you're next?
You are right. This is from Matt in Ohio, and Matt says, we have a bun in the oven due in December.
Congratulations.
We'd like to start a 529 account for after our child is born. We've heard you say that having a parent as the primary account holder doesn't significantly affect the child's scholarship opportunities. Does it make a difference if the account holder is my wife or is me? Would having the parent who makes less income lessen the effect of scholarship opportunities?
No, there's no difference in terms of which parent owns the 529 for the benefit of a child. And there's even a trick people do now if you're really wanting to get this going even before your baby comes along in December. You can open a 529 now, naming yourself as the beneficiary. And then once your child's born, you can change the name to your child. But that's really for people who are extra, extra eager to save for a child's college. Easier just to wait till after the birth and set up the account. And when you do set up that 529 plan, know that 529 plans vary enormously in quality. And they have to have state sponsorship. But even a single state might lend their sponsorship to multiple plans that can range from plans that are absolutely rotten, terrible, to ones that are very, very good. Know this, any plan that you buy from a salesperson is going to be a ripoff. It's going to have massive fees connected with it, and you want to avoid those completely and go with a plan that is what's known as a direct sold plan, that you buy right at the state-sponsored website for that plan. Even within that, there are good plans and not as good plans. And I have a guide at clark.com to the best 529 plans, state by state. Joel?
Clark, Denise in Georgia says, what can be done about places not giving refunds for concerts and sporting events?
Oh.
I'm seeing so many comments on Twitter, but none of them are very helpful.
So, Joel and Kim, we had our first question about the concerts not giving people money back. It felt like the first week that we started focusing on coronavirus in March.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the problem continues now all these months later. Ticketmaster's policy has changed, I don't even know how many times, on when a refund will be made. And one of the really sleazy things the concert promoters and Ticketmaster have engaged in is saying that, well, if a concert is postponed and not canceled, then your rights to a refund may or may not exist. So this has been a brutal thing because people could have laid out big money for a concert. And one thing that Ticketmaster, their latest, was that when a concert's postponed, at a certain point, they will offer you a 30-day window to request an actual refund instead of them holding on to your money. And then you have that window to accept or reject that new date. Failure to do anything, they take as an acceptance, and then you're not eligible for your refund. But in that window, if you reject, then, at least in theory, you are entitled to a refund. And this has been very difficult for people who've lost their jobs and need that money to live on. And the industry is doing a great job alienating its fans moving forward. Joel?
Clark Jared in New York says, my father has a flip phone and no desire to part ways with it. He's on my...
Good for him.
Right? He's on my sister's family plan, and I want her to save money by switching her immediate family from Verizon to Visible. Unfortunately, this would leave my dad out in the cold with his flip phone. So is there a call and text only plan that's cheap for the old man set in his ways?
Yes. Now, whether or not they'll work with a flip phone, I would think they would. But there are several plans now that are in the $10 a month range, including one from Boost Mobile that is $10 a month and actually includes data he wouldn't be using. So I've got on Clark.com a continually updated guide to the best cell phone plans of the moment. And I've got a bunch of really, really cheap plans for people who don't use any data or a lot of data at all. And they are all in the general range of $10 to $15 on our plan guide. But the easiest of all to do is probably the Boost Mobile at $10 a month. And then the question would be, does that flip phone work on their network, which is something you can only figure out at a Boost Mobile store. So if the phone's not compatible, I hope they have a flip phone that is. Kim?
Paul in Georgia wants to know, how legit are these land and cabin deals that advertise super low prices in the mountains? They make offers for one day only. If it's legitimate, why is it one day only?
Okay, the value of any mountain or lake property is whatever it is at that moment. There is no screaming deal that if you don't buy that day, you're never going to get it. Because the reality is, mountain and lake property is very difficult to sell. And a lot of these land deals you see that say, the land was worth blah, blah, blah an acre, and now it's worth only this an acre on our deal. There were a lot of failed developers, as there always are, in mountain and lake communities, but especially mountain communities, who end up with their property being taken back by a bank or whatever. A new owner will buy it pennies on the dollar, potentially, and then they've got to get rid of it. So the price was never what the original developer said. If it was, then it wouldn't have failed. So know that the value of real estate is what it is at that particular time in history, but not that day in history. Also, I'm totally opposed to you, unless you live in the community, buying raw land. There are so many people who, with mountain property and lake property, have bought undeveloped pieces of land that they never develop, but they end up with an ongoing obligation, maybe even a homeowners association fee on top of it. So if you do want to buy property in a mountain community, buy one that already has a house on it. Because you want something that, if you later decide you don't want it, is a lot easier for you to sell than if you just have a raw piece of land. And the other side of this is, if you buy a place that has a structure on it that's usable and livable, you can start enjoying that property right away. Instead of just paying for a property you might not ever be able to enjoy. Joel?
Clark William in California says, what's the best inexpensive burial insurance policy?
No burial insurance policy. The smart thing to do is look for a local association. If you go to the website funerals.org, you can find a funeral and memorial society near you. You can end up arranging for a funeral so inexpensively that there will be no need for an insurance policy. Mike is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Mike. You have very exciting news in your life, don't you?
Hey, Clark, how are you doing?
Great, thank you. So yep, you're getting married in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly. We're working right through it. We're going to proceed like there's nothing going on. And of course, those family members and friends that are feel comfortable will attend our wedding in September.
Well, how can I be of service to you with this exciting event happening in your life?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I am a bit unique in my my life's direction and occupation over the last 30 years. I've been on the road traveling, had an amazing life for nonprofit, been to 77 some countries, and never married. And I am, as you know, I'm going to get married this September. And there's a bit of a age gap with the relationship. And I've never had life insurance. I've never been married, never had life insurance. I thought, you know, as we face our future together, I want to be able to make sure in the event of my death that my wife is taken care of, and in the event there's children also. Can I say the age gap?
Oh, sure.
For your audience, it's 32 years.
And 32 so paper, years. Wow.
32 years, sir. Yes. But it's come together quite gracefully, and a lot of confirmation that that we're to be together, and we're going to proceed in love and make the best life possible for us.
So you want to make sure that if you were to pass away, that she's okay economically. By the way, it's a good idea for her to have life insurance as well, to make sure that you are okay. If she were, you know, the stats
right.
say you would be the one who would go first, but you know, life brings unexpected curveballs. And buying
exactly.
life insurance for you is much more difficult than for her.
Okay.
Because
okay.
of your age. And have you had any pre-existing conditions that an insurer may say they want nothing to do with you, or are you A-okay?
I'm pretty good shape. Yeah.
Okay. So that means that as you look at buying life insurance, how many years are you from retirement?
I would say 12 to 15 years.
Okay. So yeah. in your case, it would be a good idea for you to look at 10 or 15 year level term insurance.
Level term. Okay.
Level term is where it's very inexpensive compared to what's known as whole life insurance, where it only pays in the event of your passing. There's no
okay.
weird savings account or investment or anything. It's just essentially death insurance.
Okay.
And so there are many, many companies that can quote you right online for level term insurance. In fact, I have a guide to buying it at clark.com.
Okay,
and
great.
You can see how to get the price quotes. So that would be how you would provide. And having the life insurance during your working years for replacement of income is the key. And again, based on premiums, that would be either a 10-year level term or 15. And best to both of you. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.